Welcome back to Boldly, though, the only Star Trek podcast that has real questions about how far the Discovery can jump. I'm Science Officer Kelly.
Really? You have questions about that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Security Officer Karen, and previously on...
Stop it! You psychopath! Mom took a page of notes for the previously on for this episode of Star Trek.
Kelly won't let me read it, so I'm going to take a minute just giggling about the fact that I can't recap what's been happening this season on Disco.
You can recap. You got to go fast.
No, it's all right.
We're talking about season 3, episode 11, Sukal.
And if you want the previously on, just call me, people. I'll read it to you. It's fine.
Yeah. Previously on Star Trek, we're in the future. Dilithium blew up. There's a ship in a nebula. That's Georgia true. Left.
Yep.
Three sentences. Yep. Or three parts of sentences. In this episode, guess what? We start. Still at the wake.
Still at that stupid memorial service. My God.
And I was furious all over again. Fuck off.
Well, you should have liked the previously on then. Because, yeah, the Giorgio disappeared in an instant. And I'm like, okay, good. Now what? And then, oh, crap.
Remember? We loved that evil lady. I Detmer certainly interacted with her. And I also loved her.
Well, now that she's gone, we all loved her. We didn't like her when she was here. She was a real pain in the ass when she was here.
Yeah. We see Adira looking around, and Stamets is like, they're all your family now, and me and Hugh are also your family.
We're a package, but you have us too.
Yeah, we're your dads. Did you have a real dad? Do we know if Adira's parents are alive? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Different parents now.
That's right.
The parentification of Stamets is... not my favorite.
Yeah.
I was watching this episode. I'm like, I miss really grumpy season one Stamets. Where'd he go? He died. He died in a way no one cares about, like, aww, the way Hugh died. People care about that, I guess. And his mom did remind me on the previously on, Adira could see Gray, the previous host and their boyfriend who died when a meteor hit them.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe even if Adira's parents were alive, they also died during that.
Who knows? Exactly. This child is on their own, I guess, and yes, has been forever. They're just dating. And Gray left, and I don't know how long it was, but it doesn't matter because Gray's back. And he's not thrilled about being a ghost. Stamets, when he realizes that Adira is seeing Gray again, because no one else can see Gray, important for next time. Stamets is like, you're lucky we're at a funeral or else I'd yell at you.
I'd be giving you a piece of my mind. And he says, I will go over here and look at Data to give them some time to talk.
Right. Stop looking at Data at this funeral. Just leave, Stamets. But yeah, Gray is sad about being a ghost. He's not sure why he's a ghost. This isn't how trill things work.
And he says, I'm sorry. And Adira waits and says, is that it?
Yeah.
You show up out of nowhere and you're sorry?
I guess I could say I'm not sorry, Adira. What do you want from me? It's weird being a trill ghost. This isn't how this works. But they both decide they're going to figure it out together.
Yeah, I wonder what was supposed to happen. We don't really hear that.
What's supposed to happen? Well, I mean, Adira's a human host, which is deeply unusual. In fact, this might be the first time, I guess.
Yeah.
Because normally it's just like you have their memories, like... If Adira were a trill, Adira would also just be Gray.
Right.
Like, Jadzia is all the people that Dax was before.
Right.
She's just also Jadzia. And Gray is, like, an autonomous person. He still, has his own brain.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, and he says, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be connected. So, that's what I'm just wondering, you know. I think we're missing something here, but...
Sure. Maybe they get into it in season 4.
Probably not, but okay.
Probably not. You'd almost think they'd write something about this after doing it, but they don't. Anyway, this funeral does get broken up by Data, but not Data the robot, and not Stamets' Data. Different Data. I guess it is Stamets' Data, actually.
No, you're right. Because it's him who's saying, yeah. Oh, I have some data.
Yeah, there's someone alive on that stranded Kelpian ship. And everyone's like, gasp, that's impossible. It's been there for 130 years or whatever. And Saru reveals that, we got that distress call from the Kelpian captain and she had markings on her head. And Tilly's like, oh, that's sad. The radiation's burning her head. Not what was happening. She was pregnant. Yeah, I don't know why Saru didn't bring it up.
He didn't find it necessary to say that then, but he says it now.
Yeah. I don't know why he didn't say it then, except, of course, that, we're supposed to have questions that the show can then answer, and you're not supposed to think about how it doesn't matter. So that must be her kid, which still means this kid is very old.
Yeah.
Like, really old?
Yeah. In someplace else that people can't live because of the radiation.
Yeah. So they go to the nebula. Yeah. Like, we gotta get that kid.
Set course.
Who's 100-something years old. So they go there and they jump there and then they're like, let's fly into it. And there's a bad storm and the ship's getting fucked up and mm-hmm. they're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And Saru's like, keep going, keep going. He's like Dr. Seeker in the dinosaur ride. We can't stop now. But eventually they do stop now because they
whoever's
are all
down there. They've been waiting to be rescued a very long time.
Yeah, yes, but
shield's
it's
80%, shield 60%. Take us in closer.
Yeah,
we can't simply leave 50%.
We can. The thing is, they can simply leave. But Book is like, my ship is smaller.
And it can morph.
It can change shape, and that's important for the radiation? I don't know, but Book's a nice man, and he offers to go so that Discovery cannot all get cooked, so that only he can get cooked. And so he pops off with his ship, and
he's gonna find Disco a safe place to poof into.
Right. Because I guess rocks are also a problem, although they're not. It seems more to be a radiation thing. Anyway, they poof out. We can simply leave. They just pop right out with their spore drive.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
I missed him saying he was going to find them a spot. Like, I think he says it in a second because I'm like, why don't they just jump in there? Like, what the fuck's their problem? And poor Book gets pretty irradiated. But he finds a safe spot, and autopilot brings him out.
And then they get the tech off of his ship, what his ship has recorded.
Right. They make this sequence takes like 10 minutes.
Yes, yes. When we cue the music, we're at 9 minutes in. Now, I did not take a timestamp on previously on, but it was very long, too.
It was like 2 minutes.
Oh, it was at least 2 minutes.
I skipped it, and it was like a minute 51, okay, 52. Then you would have, and yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Did you find this sequence of figuring out how to get in the nebula interesting?
No.
Did you find it exciting?
No.
Okay. I agree with you. What are we doing? Send Book in first. Just jump in. Spend this time on something else.
Yeah.
I'm desperate for you to spend your fucking time on something else. So they...
Well, I think they're just showing that Saru is not being level-headed.
That's true, but you could, if you took this time, you could do something else with it, I guess. I don't know what, but I believe in you. I don't know why. You've proved over and over again that you're not worthy of my belief or trust.
That's right.
Book has to get, like, his DNA stitched back together. Also, his cat has to get her DNA stitched back together.
She was on his ship.
Why wasn't she in his quarters? Does he sleep on his ship? No, right? Know.
Yeah. Good question. Like, these are all good questions, Kelly.
There was a whole comedy bit where Grudge was in Michael's room and Tilly was like, a cat. Remember?
No. I think I remember a cat being there. I didn't realize it was Grudge. I don't know why. I'm probably just not remembering, Kelly.
You think they're just other cats?
Yeah,
I mean,
just
that'd be
cats
nice.
Wandering around, yeah.
That'd be nice. I mean, we do. It means we get to see Grudge again, this giant fucking cat.
I do believe we read a story, Kelly, where there was a cat named something, Mystery. So this, you know, this could have just been Mystery showing up again on the cat. I mean, on the ship.
Yeah, Mystery's a energy being. She visited Data and now she's here. So, like, I'm not mad to see Grudge. We're reminded she's the world's giantest cat. She's a fucking Maine Coon or whatever. Yeah. And she could kill an ensign. She's so big. So They jump into the safe pocket.
No, not yet. So they go.
I apologize.
So they discover from Book's ship that the planet that they're at is a dilithium planet, and yep. so Michael gets this loft, you know, this far away romantic look in her eye. I think we may have just found the source of the burn.
We could hit that planet with so many hammers and have dilithium again.
And then we cue the music 9 minutes in.
Also, you think we just found the source of the burn? Isn't that what the black boxes told you? This was the source? Yes. Isn't that how you knew to look here in the first place?
Well, they knew the nebula was the source, but now they've even pinpointed Sorcerer. It further. It's this planet.
Great.
So we come back. We're reading in the Admiral.
Yeah, and he's like, wow, Federation could really use that planet. And it's like, you guys have made no progress on non-dilithium-based propulsion, you stupid motherfuckers.
No, all the good scientists blew up.
It's so dispiriting to be like, well, a thing happened and all our dilithium went bad. You know what'll fix it? More dilithium.
Yeah, that like, we can't find, yeah.
If you read this, the whole burn is like a, because it kind of reads as like a climate change allegory. Oh. Like, you know, this thing was disastrous. This fuel type was not good. And then in the end, they're like, and then we found way more of it. Yeah, baby.
Yay.
Yeah. And this is on top of the fact that, again, and I'm going to say this because we won't find out for many, many years. And also it will never matter. Warp travel is bad for the universe. They already did a climate change episode of TNG about how warp travel tears up fucking space. And they kind of did it with Discovery, where yeah. mycelium jumping tears up fucking mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And then they're never like, well, forget it. Which I guess makes it the most perfect climate change allegory of all.
Nah.
Because people know this stuff and don't do shit about it. Anyway, Admiral Vance wants the planet. He wants to eat it right up. Num, 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 num.
Well, he does. He says, we are having trouble in Kaminar with the Emerald Chain. And Saru's like, well, we can jump there immediately. He goes, no. We don't need you close to Osira. You just be careful down there. You know, you figure out what's going on down there. We need that planet.
Yeah, there's a whole bit where Saru's like, I'm going to go because it's a Kaminarian child, adult. And Vance is like, well, I don't know. And then it's like, Osira's attacking Kaminar. And the look on Saru's face, I'm like, wait a second. Has he not gone to Kaminar since they got to the future? The rest of you motherfuckers got to go to Earth. This guy doesn't get to go home?
Hmm.
No. And now it's getting attacked. And Michael's like, it's a fucking trap. It's bait. Like, she wanted Book. I don't remember why. And she attacked his planet, and now she's doing military exercises near yours. We can't go. And Saru's like, okay, good point. Book is very excited. Like, we then leave this meeting, and Michael and Book are walking next to each other, and Book is like, that's so cool, all that dilithium. I can't wait to eat it up. Nom, 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 nom.
Everybody's out here making dilithium chocolate cake.
Yeah, they're like, it's big rock candy dilithium. We're going to just chomp it. And Michael's like, I'm going on the away mission, but also, I don't know if Saru can make hard decisions if another guy from what are they called? Kaminarian? What are they? What's his species?
Geez. he's Kelpian.
Kelpian, thank you.
Yeah, gosh, you're quizzing me. I'm like, that should be right there.
I forgot, right. Kaminar is the planet.
They love to eat them.
Kelpian is the species, thank you.
You're welcome.
I apologize for the previous misspeakings.
She's
like, I don't know if he can make a difficult decision if one other Kelpian guy is around and in danger. I don't know if he can make captain decisions. And Book's like, well, that's why you and other people are going. It's very much like, I don't think he can be a captain about this, which is weird.
Yeah, he's been a captain all along. What the hell?
Yeah.
Wait till we get to the planet.
Yeah, and it is just like one guy. And Saru's whole thing, since he grew his head teeth, is like giving less of a shit. Like, I think they've written him worse since he stopped being afraid and grew his head teeth. And he's just like way more like, well, we got to just do this thing. And it's like, but all that might change because of one adult child.
Well, but so, yeah, so she's going to go down to the surf with Saru and Culber. She's like, I hope we find answers for all of us.
Yeah, she's like, for all of us. And it's like, no one gives as much of a shit about the burn as you do. Not yeah, one person.
Yeah, this is a lot of twinkly eye, you know, romanticized.
Well, it's been her. Well, here's the thing. It's been the storyline of the whole season, except the past two episodes when we didn't give a shit about it because we were doing something else. They might be pressing on it really hard to remind you, the viewers, like, oh shit, it's been 3 weeks since anyone said the burn. And we got to remind you that Michael cares about it. So, yeah.
And it might be heartburn.
It's just the whole answers for all of us. I wanted Culber to be like, yeah, none of us care. Vance doesn't care. Nobody cares. You care. That's it. I don't know why nobody who lives here cares, but they don't. But yes, Culber is going as well, which makes sense because it is going to be a problem. There's going to be radiation. So they need, like, to take medicine and have a doctor. And Stamets is like, fuck that and fuck you. Don't take my husband anywhere.
You can't go, Hugh. You have me. You have Adira.
Yeah. You have our weirdly fake adopted child. And Hugh's like, no, Paul. I have to go for me. And I'm like, wait, what is anyone talking about? And he's like, being here in the future, it's given me a purpose that I didn't have before after I came back to life. And I'm like, it has? Since when?
Since right now, Kelly.
Since right now. And he's like, we're going to have open comms. I'll come back. And they're like touching each other's faces in engineering. It's like, why isn't this in your house? Like,
there's no time, Kelly. There's no time.
There's no time. We got to fix the shields from here, from our very small. This is not like main engineering, I don't think. I think this is just where the jump pod is, it but is, whatever. Yeah, yeah. We never built another set, so who cares?
No, right.
And then, oh, a thing about Saru going on the mission is that his number one is going to be left in charge of the ship, as usually happens. Hey, do you remember who his number one is? Why, it's Ensign Tilly.
Yep.
So an ensign's going to be acting captain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that only happens when a whole bridge crew gets killed, but what do I know? And she's freaking out about it a little bit. And
I think she was fine until Michael pep talks her.
I think she's nervous. And then Michael's like, you're going to do great.
Okay, well, I have some stuff here, so you're going to have to indulge me.
Okay.
So, yes, Tilly goes to their room. Michael's there waiting for her. And she says, I wanted to see
There's no cat here.
Yeah, no cat. Because Tilly's afraid of the cat, isn't she?
What if the cat was acting captain?
Well, she wouldn't have got radiation poison, would she?
Right.
Or maybe she still would have. But so, yeah, so so Michael's telling Tilly about, you know, oh, I remember my first time I was put in charge. I don't think I took a deep breath the whole 5 hours and 37 minutes that Philippa was gone. And then Tilly says, well, you know, it's like my great-grandma Adele said, once you've flown a starship into a flaming nebula and gotten everyone out alive, oh, until then, you haven't lived.
And then she says, does be like, she didn't say that. It's like, yeah, no, Tilly, I understand jokes. Thank you, Tilly.
So then, yeah, then we get the ridiculous, stupid story about the bump under the left armchair of the captain's chair. And that's there for you to rub. So, you know, everybody's there with you. And
well, it's
so
whole
you
thing
don't
where
get
it's
distracted.
Like, there was a painful rough spot on the underside of the arm in the Shenzo, and Discovery has the same fucked up chairs. Like, it was a error.
Yeah, it's a construction glitch at the San Francisco Fleet Yards.
Yeah. No one fixed it, I guess, even though they have lasers, and it's like a burr, basically. And it's like, and Georgia would press on it, because when there were too many options, she needed to hit the pain button, and so she'd hit it. And then when I was in command that one time, I reached for the pain button, and it wasn't even there. She had worn it off with all her pain button needs. And this place probably has the same. I've seen Saru touch there, even though I don't know if he knew about the pain button. So it you just know that you can touch part of a chair and do better at your job.
Whether it's a like, burr, a dent, or a shiny spot, it's there for you, Tilly.
And it ends up being like a big fuck off button. And I'm like, yeah, what is this like, supposed to be?
Yeah, it's not a burr, and it's not a. Yeah, it's like you put two Cheerios underneath
it. It should have been nothing. Like, I realize the Discovery probably hasn't been around as long as the Shenzo, I guess. And I'm sure Lorca didn't hit the pain button, except of course he did. He's a Terran. Those motherfuckers love pain. Like, it should have been, like, it should be gone. But it's just a reminder that's like, you're not alone. Other people face hard decisions as well. But it is a really big button. If you got, like, an M&M that size, you'd be like, wow, really big M&M.
Well, it's like two of them put together.
Yeah.
And then stacked underneath the chair of the arm, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like it should do something. It should hit a horn.
Yeah. It looks like something squishy.
Have the Discovery start honking.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Yeah. So anyway, the radiation is going to be bad. They have monitors. Don't worry about it. Medicine.
Yes, I have medicine, yep.
Don't worry about it.
But regardless, even with the monitors and the medicine, we're going to have to be back in 4 hours.
Yeah, and it takes 3.5 to fix the shields enough for them to come in here, long enough to beam them out. That's crazy.
And then those shields are 35% and 30% while we're standing here talking. And Michael has to again say, Captain.
Yeah.
Captain Saru. She said it about 6 times this episode. Like, you're not paying attention.
Hey, do I need to hit you with a pain button? So the three of them beam down. They're like, we'll come back for you. And it's like, thanks. Bye.
And as soon as they beam down to the planet, so cute. Michael is in a little Red Riding Hood cape and so adorable.
Yes.
Awesome red cape.
They're suddenly in a snowy forest, and they are not themselves. They don't have their stuff. She is in this little Red Riding Hood, hood. She quickly runs into Culber. She is Trill. He is Bajoran.
Well, she says, Culber, you're Bajoran. And he pulls back her hood and goes, you're Trill.
He starts touching her head.
And they said, about Saru?
And he walks up and he's human.
He says, my heels aren't touching the ground.
My heels are touching
the ground. Oh, I'm sorry. My heels are touching the ground.
Yeah. And he doesn't sound he should be like, my feet are fucked up. What the fuck? Broken.
He says, what is happening?
Yeah. This is just Doug Jones not in makeup. It's fun to see him. And I'm sure it was nice to, for once, not have to sit in a chair for 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, also,
so they realize they have no badges, no phasers,
all their
no tricorder.
Stuff is gone.
No medicines.
Which we find out later is not true. They still have their stuff on them, but they can't feel it.
Hmm.
Holograms in the future might be too advanced. Let me find my medicine, thanks. So like, oh, wow. We're going to really start, like, fucking dying.
And Hugh says, well, as long as the ship comes back when it's supposed to, we'll live.
Yeah, we're going to be pretty fucked up.
We're
going to
be in pike chairs.
Yeah. Those have not gotten any better. So they just, like, wander, and they're like, also, why is it a forest in here? What the hell's going on? They find a glitching hollow lady who's trying to teach someone how to, like, use a socket wrench.
And I think it was a replicator. Yeah, they're talking about a replicator out in the middle of the woods. So that didn't make any sense.
But she's also glitching. And they're like, hey, hello. And they ask her like one question and she shuts down forever.
Well,
RIP that lady.
She says, you are in the wrong program. Go to history and current events.
And they keep walking and they find like a crumbling M.C. Escher building with space whales flying by outside.
So cool.
There's a big locked door. There's like weird little piles of stones, and then a guy is here, and they're like, hello, are you also a hologram? And he's not a hologram. He's a Kelpian child man.
And as he's talking to them, there's a locked door behind him and it starts shaking like something's trying to get out.
Yeah.
And they start trying to talk. Saru's trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
And the door's, you know, rattling bang, more bang, and more and more and
like,
more.
Like, hey, what's it? Hey, do you know what's going on? Bang, bang, bang. Hey, been outside?
I'm from outside. And
bang.
He starts running off. He says, you woke the monster. And he runs away.
He is an adult with the mind of a child that comes with all those problems. Burnham grabs Culber and Saru and is like, wait. What if he's never heard of the Burn? And I'm like, how would he have heard of the Burn? No one has spoken to them in 130 years in here. Jesus. It's like, maybe he doesn't know what outside is. But he runs off. They keep trying to talk to Discovery because comms are open. Discovery gets, like, the barest, like, this is Michael. Crackle, crackle, crackle. And they're like, well, I guess they're alive. But then, on Discovery, they get some sort of signal. A Federation ship. And it's like, well, that's fucked up. And it's like, well, maybe they're stranded. Maybe they've been stranded here for 125 years.
Hail them. Nope. They didn't respond to our hail, but they sent the correct response. They'll be here in 10 minutes.
Right. Normal. Not suspicious. Where the hell is this place that we're having such a fucking hard time? Anyway, they split up inside the ship. This doesn't make any sense to me because the door is banging. The evil locked door.
Okay, we're back on the planet.
We're back on the planet. We're on the ghost ship. The door's bing banging away. And Michael's like, I will stay here and see what is behind the door if it comes out. You guys go look for the survivor. They keep calling him the life sign for a while. I'm like, that's stupid. Just say survivor.
Yeah, then he's life the survivor. Sign. Yeah, at least they didn't call him the child anymore.
Yeah. Also, it is weird that they called him a child. It's like he aged, you guys. He's probably an old ass man. He's not, but he could have been.
Yeah, he should have been.
Saru and Culber find more holograms who are just like milling around and obviously broken.
Well, they're doing it's the dedication ceremony to when Kaminar joined the Federation.
Right. No Kelpians present at this. This is when this thing is like, oh, you're the rescuers, and like all the holograms clap.
You are anticipated input.
And clap, 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 clap. Is this supposed to be creepy? It's not.
Well, it's stupid because they don't answer the question, and they almost get their asses handed to them. If the answer is no, we are going to start defensive blah, blah, blah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we are here for the child.
We're
here to rescue the survivor.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, then there's more applause.
This is when they find out that the computer has covered them in a hologram to make them less scary to the child, to the survivor.
Yes, your like, appearance has been modified.
Right, an unsurprising form. Here's the thing. There are both human and Kelpian holograms already in this chip program. This guy lives with a Kelpian hologram. Why doesn't Saru look Kelpian? The first lady we met was human.
Yeah, I can't help you with that. Because like we also, on the holograms, we don't... Well, see, I don't think... She programmed the elder. Because she programmed the elder. But I think the other, she didn't really program Kelpians, thinking that, you know, we'd be around a long time. I guess she was hoping this thing wouldn't start, you know, as soon as it did. So she didn't bother to program any Kelpians.
We'll have to talk about that because it is implied, I think, that she did all of it.
Yes. Yes. And we didn't run into any Bajorans or any Trill.
No. It's one Vulcan, a bunch of humans, and one Kelpian. I think we were good.
Yeah.
It's fun to put people in different makeup, but it doesn't actually make sense.
No, because we brought two humans and a Kelpian. Changed the way we looked. Okay.
Yeah. Great. I guess that door burst open at some point while they were talking to the survivor, because Michael...
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, we woke up the monster, and after he ran away, I think the door broke open.
Right. Michael said she was going to stick around to see what the monster was, and has wandered away to I don't know where she meets a scary dust guy.
Well, I thought she went inside the door.
Did she?
I think she went inside.
I can't understand this geography.
Because she said, yeah, I'll wait here and make sure it doesn't come out. Well, she didn't make sure it didn't come out. Unless it came out and started making noise other places. She found this monster. She went looking for it.
But then also, like, later they find her somewhere and it's like, I don't know where anyone is. Well, no, doesn't matter. Yeah. But she meets this dust monster. And she's like, hello? And for a second, it seems like they're going to be chill. But then instead, she gets chased back into the M.C. Escher room by the dust monster.
Well, it almost looked like it ran away and she chased it.
And then it chased her. And then she fell down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Like, there's a moment where it, like, mirrors her movements. Like, she tilts her head and it tilts its head. But, It's just a dust monster chase. This also is not interesting or exciting.
Covered in kelp. In kelp, yeah.
Yeah, later we find out it's a Kelpian covered in a bunch of kelp. It's sort of Ba'uli looking, but not entirely. Ah.
I forgot those evil people that I don't like.
Well, it gets brought up in this episode, like, yes, in the little book. It's like, oh, they reconciled. And there's, like, a Kelpian and a Ba'ul holding hands. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they got over the mutual eating, I guess. Yes. the many generations on both sides of devouring each other.
Yes.
Back at the Discovery, surprise, it's not a Federation ship. It's Osiris' ship.
Yeah, it's such, do a sensor of what's around the ship. Well, that doesn't make any damn sense. That's because it's not a Federation ship.
Yeah, it's Osiris' big ship, and it's okay, like, well, how'd she...
Hang on, we have another quote from Captain Tilly.
Okay.
We have a spore drive, and we're right next to a Dilithium planet. There's only one person who wants both of those things to come all the way out here. It's Osiris.
Osiris is an Egyptian god. I wrote down
Osiris is coming in Weapons Hot, so I'm sorry.
Osira. No, it's fine. Osira. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't know how far away this is, and they're like, how'd she get here? And Book's like, she used a transwarp tunnel that everyone knows about, but no one's crazy enough to use.
That's right.
And I'm like, okay, why haven't the last 125 years we've been building ships that can better navigate transwarp tunnels so that people could use them? Like, she got here really fast. We could have solved this problem decades ago if people just built, like, sturdier ships. But no, we're all just like, moo, dilithium, and just puttering around in rowboats. And then both ships cloak. Like, Osiris, like, ta-da, here I am. And then it and Discovery both cloaked, hanging out.
Yeah, and somebody says, well, we can't jump when we're cloaked. One crisis at a time, do it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the shields back up yet either.
Right.
We got all kind of problems on Discovery.
They also don't move, as far as I can tell.
I think they move a little bit.
Hmm. They should have just jumped, is the thing.
Yeah, they should have.
Back on the ghost ship, Michael wakes up from her fall. She's like, owie. And who did she fall right near but the survivor, who's amped to see her because he thinks she's a program he hasn't met yet.
Yep, he's a new Holo training program he hasn't seen, and he's very excited.
He's so bored. He's very excited.
We'd all be.
Of course. And
Kelly, I haven't seen the first book on this planet.
No.
No, I have. Well, I haven't yet.
Well, you haven't yet. You'll get there. It's a picture book for little children, and he's 125 years old. And it's like a good bit of acting that Sinequa Martin-Green does, where she slides right into being a computer program to make this guy feel more at ease. I just want to make clear, it is never the actor's fault in this show, I don't think. Like, it is not. They're doing as best they can. They're doing quite well with what they are given, which is slop. Also, we gotta remind me, when Osira fucking comes back, I guess when they're big talking scene, we got to talk about Osira.
Okay.
Because maybe she's not doing the best she can, but this also might not be her fault. but yes, Michael claims to be like a socialization program. So, you know, talk to people and figure things out. And he's like, well, that's weird, because I think everything outside's probably dead by now.
Yes, he says, I'm sorry to tell you that you're obsolete. And she says, oh. Well, then I will just, disengage or...
And he's like, no, wait.
If you're not interested, no.
And then she starts asking him about his family. I don't know why.
Well, she was bringing up social units. They're supposed to be talking about, you know, family. I mean, she was trying to get him to remember when he had his family...
Right.
When he might have traveled with them, but she's not remembering, or she doesn't realize that she was pregnant when she sent out that distress call that they had crashed.
She absolutely realizes it, because Saru made that announcement in front of everybody.
Yeah, but she's not remembering that, because she says, don't you remember a time when you were on a ship? Now, does she mean after they crash landed?
I have no idea what she means.
Together. Yeah, I mean, it's really weird, the questioning she's asking. And he gets really upset, because, you know, she wants him to remember something that happened a long time ago that we don't know right this second, but it's going to be very painful for him.
Right.
There's so remembering those things, like when your mother died,
yeah, you know,
because mother had to have eventually died or she'd be here with me.
Right, exactly. There's one life sign on this boat, so the fact that his mother is dead is not really a spoiler. But yeah, I don't know what she's trying to get out of him, but he does get upset and eventually leaves. In the middle of this, we see Saru and Culber find like a house, basically, like a Kelpian house. And there's a Kelpian elder in a chair. And Saru's like, oh my god, that's the oldest Kelpian I've ever seen. What with all of us getting killed at 35. Hilariously, this Kelpian elder has facial hair. Kelpians have never had hair, as far as I know. But this guy has it because they couldn't think of a way to make someone look old other than a wispy little beard. They also find like a plaque or whatever that says Sukal on it.
It's a little child's drawing.
Okay. And it's that's his name.
Yeah, Sukal.
And we find out that...
Hence the name of the episode, by the way.
It's the name of the... Saru goes, titular. That's the name of the episode. but yes, this kid's name is Sukal. And Saru explains that it means beloved gift, basically, in Kelpian. And that it is a traditional name where if a family has just had a tragedy, they name their next child Sukal. And it's sort of this idea of... Their grief and suffering is over. You've got a beloved gift now. And I'm like, you come from a society where everyone gets eaten before they turn 30. Why wouldn't every child be named Sukal?
I didn't think of that, Kelly. That's pretty good.
Like, I think this is a really interesting idea. Like, this is the kind of flavor I want. But yeah, it doesn't fit with how Kelpians live their fucking lives. Or at least did.
Oh, now that's true. It's been, what, 900 years?
Right.
Yeah.
But Saru knows about it, so it's not new. Like.
Oh. Good point.
You know. But so, yeah, clearly he was born after the crash, which we already knew, what with her being pregnant during the distress call. I don't know what this is supposed to be telling us, but Saru keeps wanting to hang out with the elder. He's got a little book. This is where we see the Kelpians and the Ba'ul held hands. And he's like, would you like a story? And Culber's like, we're burning up with radiation poisoning. And Saru's like, please sing me a lullaby. Because it's like...
No. That's not what happened. Okay, so...
they talk to the elder. And
yeah, they're talking to the elder. Can I tell you a story? No. Hugh won't let me sit here and hear a story. And he says, we have to find, you know, we have to find Sukal. Do you know where we might find him? And he said, oh, well, when he is afraid, he goes to his fortress. And then he sees Saru notices the little icon or the little totem in the book.
Right.
It says, since when has the eye of whatever been a thing for protection? And he says, oh, yeah, he uses it against the monster. And as long as he's afraid of the monster of the sea. Saru says, oh, yeah, I remember that story. And the elder says, yes, and as long as he does not face it, he will remain here, as will you.
Yeah, and Saru's like, oh, yeah, that's a story about facing your fear. And I'm like, the whole point is that you guys never got to stop being afraid because you never got to reach fear maturity and had your fear ganglia fall out. I don't understand how this story survived. But yes, this is a traditional Kelpian scare monster who lives here.
So he's this is a monster that comes out of the sea and he's covered in kelp and he's pretty fucking cool and he's really smoky.
Yeah.
Or at least also, how Sukal sees him.
Also, Kelpians like kelp. What are we going on? Did he drown out there? Can Kelpians drown?
No.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
This is when we find out that Sukal's mother made the holograms. And it is implied that she made all of them.
Yep.
To take care of him, provide emotional and, like, intellectual support.
Until he could be rescued.
Right.
Seemingly 5 years, maybe 10.
Yeah.
Which may have been the case if it hadn't been for the burn.
Right. Or maybe not. No one was good at finding you guys. They couldn't hear your distress call and never came looking for you, I guess.
Their ships all got burned.
I mean, we're going to find out next episode how long it was between him being born and the burn. Because I don't think it was days.
No, they mentioned it here.
How long was it?
They said he was probably 4 or 5.
Right. So they had 4 or 5 years to find this ship
pre-burn. Yeah, you're right. They do.
And they didn't.
Yeah. Well, it was an expedition ship. Yeah, you're right. Either their communications are very bad
between right, but ships it's and, like, hey, a ship of ours went missing. We knew where it was going generally. We knew where it was when we last heard from it. Should we go looking for it?
Guess not.
Guess not. That won't bite us in the ass and kill 17 billion people when every ship alive explodes.
Not at all.
Yes, this is when we see Michael asking about the family. There was a brief moment where he was talking about, like, swimming and getting kelp, and I'm like, is he making up memories? He was never on Kaminar, but it turns out it was a hologram, because right. Of course it was. Right. He does have her reset herself at one point, because he doesn't like the questions she's asking.
But then she asks for the exit.
Yeah, he's like, fuck that.
She says there's always an exit, and it's a place where you can reset the programs. And he says, why would you want to do that? And he gets up and runs away just like Saru with his hands swaying flapping. Behind his back. And he goes, I do not like this program.
Yeah, so he leaves. Back with Saru and Culber, they're like, we got to find Michael. And I'm like, why wouldn't she be where you left her?
Well, let's not get that started.
She's not, but...
But so no, him and Saru are out looking at the fortress. They're going to cross over now to the fortress.
She's there?
Yeah, that's where she fell.
All right.
And so while they're standing there, they look at their radiation burns that are still happening. And Hugh goes, Paul, hurry back. We need you.
Yeah, if you can hear me. And it's just like, oh my God. Great. Thank you. Speaking of the Discovery,
they're just 30 minutes out. Before we can jump.
They're just hanging out tensely. Before we can jump back in there.
Yeah. Right.
We could jump anywhere.
That's
she
true.
Can't follow us.
And so Silly says, tell him he's got 10.
Yeah. Osyra then calls.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hey, Osyra. I'm going to say this, and I've said it before, but I got to say it again. And this is not the actress's fault. Orion makeup in this show looks like fucking shit. She looks terrible. So upsetting. And then she just calls to insult Tilly, and you're like, oh no, is it going to work? And then Tilly's like, wow, you're really projecting. And then they banter, and it's not good.
Yeah,
did
what
you
do
like
you want?
This banter?
Yeah, don't test me, Red. What do you want? Your ship, your spore drive, your crew as leverage. No. No. You will never have that.
Yeah.
No, it's stupid. I hated it. Hated every minute of it.
Watching this, I'm like, damn, I miss Angel. Remember Angel from Strange New Worlds? Yes. Remember my beloved pirate captain Angel who ruled?
You're right.
They need an Angel caliber character here. And they
and Osyra could have been it. They just missed.
They shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, sometimes you'll end up with a shitty, evil lady and her name will be Osyra. And maybe the performance, again, the fact that on this show, Orion makeup is like a mask that they put over a whole human's face instead of painting a person green. Like, that hampers performance.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this lady's performance could save this really boring, not interesting character they've written. But giving her more flexibility in her human facial features couldn't hurt. But no, the right, it's just like, this is not interesting banter.
This is just so that Osyra can see that,
yeah, where is your captain?
Yeah.
You know. And then it gives her time to think about it. They hang up because both of them are still cloaked, I guess. Like, this was not a double secret ploy to figure out where you are by tracing the phone call. Back on the ghost ship, Saru and Culber make it to the fortress, and they're like, oh, hey, Michael, because she's here, because she never left here. And they're back in, like, the M.C. Escher stair section, and the monster shows up.
Well, Sukal is building more totems to right. put on his staircase. And yeah, the monster shows up and is yelling at him, "See me."
Oh, I missed that part.
Well, I have closed captioning on.
This poor monster's like, "I would like to do my job, please. I'm one of the only holograms still working." And Sukal's like, "Go away, I hate your ass." But Sukal gets very upset by this monster being like, "I'm here to help you see do something. Me. Hey, hello." And he does a big ghost yell, Sukal does. It bubbles out from him. A blue wave. And that destabilizes a bunch of fucking dilithium.
It almost caused another burn.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, weird. back on the Discovery, they're like, "What the fuck was that?" They wouldn't have blown up because they're not going anywhere right now. But that was weird. And Tilly's like, "We gotta jump away." Because I think part of Osiris' call was like, "I'm wondering, why are you still here? Your captain must be in that nebula." And it's like, okay, what is that worth? Like, what does knowing that do for you? You gonna go in there and get him? Good luck. So Tilly's like, "We have to jump." And Stamets is like, "I don't want to jump. You can't make me jump away from my husband." And Book's like, "I will take my ship and go, okay?" And in the background, Adira's like, "Hey, Jet Reno, you're a character. Give me your comm badge. I have a plan. But I need your badge." And Jet, we don't...
hands it right over.
Yeah, Jet's just like, "Okay." Fucking love Jet Reno. Book, too. Book is very good in this episode because he's just a very nice man.
Book is very good in this. There's a lot of winking in this episode. People winking at each other.
He's fun. And here's the thing. Watching this episode, I'm like, this show doesn't deserve Book.
No.
He should be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He should be a character they run into on Strange New Worlds.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
They won't.
They won't. So Sukal's freaking out. Earlier, Saru heard a lullaby from the hologram. He didn't get a bedtime story, but he did get a lullaby. And he starts singing it to calm Sukal down. And Sukal does calm down, but then he also just leaves.
He stomps away.
And Saru's like, "I'm hurt." And it's like, I don't know, Saru. This kid has not interacted with a living person in many years. Because apparently, unlike fucking the doctor 1,000 years ago, these holograms don't become alive if they stay on too long. Which makes you wonder, did they like put that in there so it wouldn't happen anymore? Because of the doctor?
Ooh.
Fucked up if true.
Well, these holograms are pretty old with no maintenance.
I guess maybe they were they alive and then they got cooked? That's terrible.
Yeah. It's 10 or 25 years. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's a bigger tragedy, even. And
I didn't mean they got cooked. I think they just...
Slowly coming alive, but also slowly cooking?
No. Just no.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe. Or maybe they just were never alive. Or maybe the Discovery writers didn't think about it.
Yeah, they didn't. They
probably that one. Because, when I'm like, oh, God, they've been on so long. Are they alive? No. No. Stop asking.
So when the burn thing almost happened, both vessels reappeared. They'd both been cloaked. And so Osiris says, "Oh, I found you."
No, you didn't. You didn't do shit, Osiris.
We found each other. And so she says, "Let me be clear. I will destroy Discovery. I was going to say Disco. Before I let you have our spore drive." And but she had said, "Let me know when Book is clear of the ship." So he's cleared. Black alert.
Yeah. So they jump.
But they don't.
They do, but not very far, apparently. And the question is, why? Why don't they jump very far? They can jump anywhere. And they know the coordinates to jump right back where they need to be. Why didn't they jump really far?
I don't think they got a chance to jump.
They did jump.
No.
No, because Osiris comes back up on them. They jump. I would swear they jump.
Nope.
You don't think so?
No.
I think they have like 10 minutes and then the ship's like, "Hello, I found you."
Nope. Well, no, really? That's all happening. No. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know how she planned it or staged it. But she's looking at Tilly. They're having this little thing. And Tilly says, had it said before she got the mic turned back on, "Let me know when he's clear." Meaning Book.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to jump as soon as Book was clear. So as soon as Book... whoever in the background says, "He's clear," she says, "Black alert." And we go down. We go, you know, Stamets goes into the booth, puts his hands in the goo, and two guys come in right in the spore drive and won't let his hands go into the goo. It all happened instantaneously. It was really, I was like, what the fuck? How did that just happen?
See, I misunderstood it. I'm like, I thought they did like a little jump and then got found and then tried to jump again.
No. Don't think so.
I mean, either way, it's stupid. Yeah, people beam aboard.
I don't know how they did that.
I don't know either.
I mean, I guess our shields were down. I guess we were still had 10 minutes of no shields, but we should have known somebody could jump over. I mean, we should have done something before now.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, yeah, besides people beaming on board, this, her ship, Osiris' ship, is got these big long tentacles coming out and wrapping themselves around Discovery.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, what are those?
Meanwhile, like, we're cutting between this and everyone on the planet, the ghost ship, being like, oh my God, that big yell, Sukal caused the burn. He did a big yell 125 years ago.
Yeah, Book says, I'm coming, and he says, and whatever that was that happened a few minutes ago, make sure it doesn't happen again, because you almost caused a second burn. And
they're like, oh no, this guy yelling did it. And then Michael's like, Culber, you're a doctor. How could that be? And he's like, so much dilithium and also radiation while he was in utero, you'd adapt to it. And I'm like, you didn't say anything just now. Great and cool.
You'd die is how you would adapt. I don't think one species adapts like that.
Who knows?
I mean, one generation. The
show doesn't care. And then Saru's like, you know, Book's also like, hey, by the way, Osiris here, and is like grabbing people. And Saru's like, Michael, I'm so sorry, but you have to stay on Murder Radiation Planet to be with this kid. Because you're a xenoanthropologist and you got to get him to not yell. And she's like, no, Saru, it has to be you. I was worried that your increased emotions about this would make you a bad captain, but it makes you the best prospect because he reacted to you when you sang a song. And then Culber's like, I am also staying on Murder Death Planet because I know what it's like to be alone.
I know what it's like to be alone out there. Nobody should have to do that.
You guys should be patting down your, like, pants pockets way more than you are to try and, even if you can't see it, surely you can feel it. But it's like, and she's like, I will come back for you. And he's like, if it's more than a day, don't fucking bother. We'll be cooked. On Book's ship, Adira's like, hello, I've been hiding under a table.
Yep.
And Book's like, hey, what the fuck, kid? And Adira's like, I'm going down there. I'm taking the medicine. They're gonna need it. And Book's like, you cannot go down to Murder Death Planet. And Adira's like, I'm not asking permission. And then they beam down.
Yep.
I
don't think we even see them.
No, we don't.
So they beamed somewhere.
They're somewhere. Boy, I hope.
Because Book does say, I can't get a read on them. So where did maybe Adira?
I can get a read on you guys, but not them.
Maybe Adira's on Osiris' ship.
Yeah, maybe Adira being into space. Boy, I hope the computer doesn't go, Sukal can't see a little black box. Better turn it into a rock or something, and so you can never find it again, or else this is pointless. Osiris beams over. Everybody beams over, yes.
The cool thing. When Adira beamed down, since everybody lost all their stuff, they put it in their mouth. So then it would go with them.
I missed that. How did Adira know?
I don't know, but nobody had what they needed. I don't know if they were able to communicate that, you know, in that really quick conversation with Book. Oh, we don't have any of our stuff. I mean, Adira knew they didn't have medication, or that if they had to be there longer, they'd need more medication. Well,
they would, I think, yeah, the working idea is like they're going to need more than they took.
Okay.
I didn't notice that, which is clever, but also, how did they know?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Clever.
Yeah. If only the show were clever.
It's not.
Quit
trying.
Everyone beams over to Discovery. Osiris, like, get the fuck out of my chair.
Well, yeah, she, Tilly keeps asking, Stamets, why aren't we jumping?
Stamets, Paul. Stamets. Does security want to get down there and try something? Does anyone want to do anything?
After they took his hands out of the goo.
They put an evil hat on him.
A control device on him. He says, no, I won't help you. No, no, please. And he didn't get time to add, my husband.
my husband and my kid I stole.
Well, I don't think he knows that Adira is down there.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Turn into a puddle.
Ooh.
It is very theatrical, the acting in this episode, and not like in a good way. Like the, you know, hurry, Paul, we need you. It's just like, no, please don't. It's like, whatever, you guys, this is a bit much. But yeah, he gets an evil hat put on him.
Yep. And then Osira beams onto the bridge with a whole bunch of people. Get out of the chair.
No one has pulled a gun.
You'll have
on
to
Discovery.
Kill me first.
What if you guys know that shit's going bad? What if some of you pulled guns?
Yeah, you're right. They weren't even prepared for that, were they?
They're at
red alert, nobody has a gun.
Does security exist?
I guess not. We didn't take any security into the future with us. And that stupid admiral wouldn't give us a security detail, even though we're the most valuable ship in all the Federation.
Right. So Tilly's like,
you're gonna
have to kill me. And then it's like, she gently, you know, sort of pulls her out of the chair. It's not cool. It's not interesting. Osira's like, you know, what do you say to make it go?
First she says Federation's headquarters coordinates are already locked in. And what is it you say? And then nobody will tell her. Get us out of here. Yeah, nobody will tell her. Fine.
And yeah, Michael and Book fly back out of the nebula just in time to see them zip away. Here's something. The Spore Drive's field of influence includes Osira's ship. How?
Well, that's the tentacles.
How do the tentacles do that? They don't know what the Spore Drive is.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
If we could just attach other ships to this ship, why wouldn't Discovery just be like shuttling people around?
They didn't know it would do this.
We didn't try anything. But yeah, Michael's like, no, 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 no. And they go, poof.
Yes, yes. We're too late.
And that's the end of the episode.
And I put Disco and Osira's ship twirl and vanish. Think so, huh?
Stupid. I think it's stupid. I think this show's bad.
Yeah, I said boo. Boo!
When you sent me a thing about how you didn't watch part two, but you wanted to, I'm like, did Mom really like it?
No.
Okay. Whew. I mean,
I just want to see what's next.
I mean, you know.
And get it over with.
I do want to get it over with. Yeah, I hate being so negative, but this is a bad fucking show. And I hate it. I watched this and then I watched a movie I didn't like last night. I'm like, I'm punishing myself. This fucking sucks. Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think of Sukal?
I like Sukal.
Okay.
I love the name. I think
the
name.
You mean the guy?
I mean the guy. I think I love the name. The name's really cool. The fact that one person can survive in radiation and blah 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 and be raised by holograms and be 130 years old and still living, and you can cause a burn. That's really reaching.
I think it's weird that he's been written this way. Because he's got the mind of a child.
Yeah.
And he has to for the sake of the story. Otherwise,
I don't know.
He's like neurodivergent in some way. Like, not a real, like, you know, mental condition or mental illness or like learning disability or anything. He's written like that, but he doesn't have one because it's a sci-fi show. And they had to write him like this because otherwise he'd be a neurotypical adult stuck in a toxic cloud for 125 years. And presumably you'd try to do something about that. They had to give him the mind of a child so he didn't try to do anything about it.
Okay.
And it is weird to have a character like that who, like, his emotions are destructive, right? Like, he gets upset and it kills millions, if not billions. And it's strange. Like, you know, you hear about, you read about how people react to, like, children with autism, and they're just like, oh, their emotions are too much, they're too wild. And it's like, no, they're not. They're just, like, different, and it's not too much. You're just uncomfortable. Like, I am a big emotions haver. I have big emotions. And I will say I'm pretty lucky, because most of my family, most of the time, does not make me feel like a fucking freak about it. This show's like, he's kind of a fucking freak, though. He ruined everything. And, like, it's a weird tack to take, I guess, is how I feel about Sukal on rewatch. Like, I don't, and again, I'll hold this against the actor. I think he's doing a-okay, and he's doing pretty good, but it is, like, a weird, they feel like they've written themselves into this weird corner, and I don't think it's working. And I don't even mean, like, the rest of this dumb show, but it's like, this is your answer
to
the question.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of dumb questions on this show.
Right, and I can see,
along with dumb answers,
I can see them being like, we want to make it a more emotional or personal thing. Because, you know, last time it was an evil computer or whatever. And this time they're like, what if it was emotion? And that's valid. That's a, you know, that happens a lot in science fiction. I just don't think they've done a good job. Per use, I think they've done a pretty bad job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So episode bad then?
Boo. That's my rating. Boo.
I'm like, well, I guess Mom, I'm glad Mom had a good time. But I prefer to be down in the haterade with you. Fuck this shit. I'm so excited that we're almost done.
Yeah.
At least with season 4 and the upcoming season 5, the badness will just be a surprise.
It will be.
Because we don't know what happened.
We haven't watched it.
No, I don't know. I mean, no one's watched 5 yet. Is there anything else you would like to say about the episode, Sukal?
No, I just like the, I don't know. I kind of like what his mother tried to do. If I was that smart.
No, yeah, I think it's interesting, although I also think it's very funny just to be like, and then she did all of it by herself. And it's like, yeah, because everyone's good at everything in Star Trek. I don't think she was a hologram programmer is her job, what with her being on a science expeditionary vessel, but okay.
Well, who knows what radiation poisoning, what skills it gives you.
Apparently, if you hang out near it and dilithium a lot, you get all sorts of skills. Maybe hers was make hologram.
Yeah.
And Sukal's was yell loud.
Yes. You know, I've met my match there. He's louder than me.
He's got a galaxy-spanning yell.
I can't make that happen.
I'm really relieved that you think Osira sucks also.
No, like, when you compare her to Angel, oh my god.
It's so, Angel is a one episode character. And it's like, you have Osira in multiple episodes of this fucking show.
Yeah.
Think about our recurring villains on fucking Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And to be fair, Osira hasn't been around that long. But we're not even all the way through, like, 2 seasons. Think about Wynn. Think about Gul Dukat. Ugh. Think about what you can do in a short amount of time with a character.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what they didn't do. Any of it. All of it. Alrighty then. Whew. That's another disco down. Thank God. We don't have any emails.
Okay.
If you'd like to email us, you can do so at boldly@gmail.com. That's boldly, T-H-O.
You can also get at us on Twitter.
Yep. Same handle. Next week, we are watching Lower Decks. It's season 3, episode 2, The Least Dangerous Game.
Hmm.
I like this one. I mean, I could say that about all of them, but there's some stuff in this one that I'm very fond of.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
Oh, you'll remember when you see it. No, I will,
of course. But I'm trying to come up with the least dangerous game. It's not Jax, because you could fall on those and hurt yourself pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Jump rope? No.
No. Checkers? Mm.
Checkers are pretty safe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're like a choking hazard, but...
Maybe, well, you know, I'm you know, we're not supposed to be trying to murder ourselves. Cards should be pretty safe.
But you can get in, like, knife fights over cards if you're in a saloon.
Those got to be some pretty special cards, Kelly.
You're playing poker. You swing open the double doors. You order a sarsaparilla. You jingle jangle your spurs over to the poker table.
And you sit down. Stabbing people. Okay.
You start cheating. They stab you with 6 Bowie knives.
Okay, let's go back to checkers.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like people get head up enough about chess that, like, maybe a chess rival will poison you.
Oh, my.
If you're, like, top-level chess players.
You're coming up with all kind of things never even occurred to me.
They've probably never occurred to
me. Kelly, you watch too much Forensic Files.
I watch none Forensic Files, my friend. That's you. I think checkers is a pretty safe game.
I think checkers, yeah.
Pick up sticks? You could get a stick in the eye, though.
No, not that one. Mm-mm.
Yeah. One of the first games you learn, checkers. Probably safest. No one takes checkers that seriously.
No, not really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, until we have a Lower Decks episode all about checkers.
Yeah. Is engage. There a dog named Checkers?
No.
Okay. Bye, Kelly.
Bye. I'm guessing Richard Nixon will never show up in Star Trek.
Oh, was that his dog's name?
Yes.
Aw.
You didn't know that?
I didn't remember.
Yeah, you knew it at some point. You knew it deep down.
I knew it deep down.
Yeah.
I'm picturing a little Scotty dog in a little sweater and, you know, a little...
I think Checkers was a spaniel of some kind.
Well, I know, but I'm just making it up for the show.
You're inventing a new Checkers.
Yeah, with the little hat that matches the vest. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. A little
plaid like checkers.
Yeah.
A red and black tartan.
Exactly. You knew it.
Yeah.
I guess I was pretty obvious when I said checkers.
it's nice and clean.
Does he stand on his rear feet and smoke a pipe?
He can.
That's what I'm envisioning.
Okay. Does he play checkers?
I think he plays poker, but he's good at cheating because nobody stabbed him yet.
No, dogs can't hold knives.
That's right. That's why it's shocking.
It's shocking they can hold cards, but there's whole paintings about it. So
that's right. It must be true.
Yeah, it must be true.